Assalamu alaikum everyone, welcome back to Shasalfa. Today, Abdul Aziz Al-Husni will be joining us from Oman, who is a part of our book, Encapsulated Volume 1, Photo Essays on Khaliji-ness. If you want to give us a little icebreaker before we start talking, Shamsa, that would be great.
I feel like I just want to sort of talk about something that has absolutely nothing to do with today's conversation.
Yes, let's do that.
Just to spice it up. Saddam, I feel like this is a question that I always think about. What's that one like cartoon or Disney song that helped shape your life and your perception of life growing up?
This is hard. Oh my God. Okay. I feel like this is such a basic answer, but it is the one that I always sing and that I just love so much. Even though it's not my favorite Disney movie. Okay. It's right? A Whole New World. Song just repeats in my head very randomly throughout the days. You know? Now I'm thinking about Hakuna Matata. Hold on. Oh. However, I think both songs serve the same purpose because they put me in a positive note of like, we need to approach everything with optimism. And my like one thing about life is to always be optimistic, you know? And I think both songs just resonate with that feeling of optimism, with that feeling of like comfort. And also they're catchy. And who would hate A Whole New World or Hakuna Matata? Hello. What about you?
You've made me reconsider. Like, I was going to say Almost There from Princess and the Frog. It's the one song that always, it's in a lot of my morning playlists. It's in a lot of my, like, jazzy playlists. I don't know. It always makes its way into my life. And it always serves as a pick-me-up. I'm the type of person where, in nature, I'm so mellow. And I am very much so a take every day as it comes type of person. And the world that we live in isn't a take every day as it comes kind of world. And sometimes I feel like this song, again, like growing up, obviously Princesses and the Frog came out quite later on into our childhood. It came out in like 2009. So I was 9 at the time, but 9-year-old Shamsa was not ready for the capitalistic world.
No, she was not. Please, I feel like Princess and the Frog is so underrated, by the way. It genuinely is so underrated.
The witch song and the everything about it. I don't know.
Everything. You know, speaking of someone, the thing is though, like how you described your song and like it being a pick me up for you, and then also the songs that I chose and the comfort that I find. I feel like Abdul Aziz is very much a pick-me-up person. He's such a comforting, loving, warm person. And it just makes so much sense that his work is all about love. And it's all about self-love. And it's all about picking yourself up and finding comfort and warmth in yourself. And that's what I enjoy about his work. And what I enjoy about him as an individual, he is such a sweet, adorable human being. And I hope everyone feels that way when we talk with them in this conversation.
Also not to mention, he manages to tackle the most difficult conversations with that same warmth and love, whether it's through the imagery that he chooses to depict or the colors or the themes. He tackles one of the most taboo conversations that anyone's going to have in the Arab world, which is the patriarchy and hypermasculinity, and still manages to do it in a way that's comforting to us as viewers. And I feel like that just is a testament to the type of person that Abdul Aziz is. I know for a fact that you guys will enjoy our conversation. I'm looking forward to it. You should be looking forward to it. And please go check him out on Instagram at Aziz. LLL, I will be spelling that out for you guys, at AZIZZLLL, 3 L's. Make sure to also head over to our Instagram at swadif.collective to check out all of the other artists that are participating and collaborating with Encapsulated. And make sure to head over to our store, swadif.store, to be able to pick up a print or two, and to be able to order our book where you get to see more insights into Aziz's work and his photo essays alongside all the other artists' essays.
Yalla, let's get into it. Sa'adoum, Abdul Aziz.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we are joined by Abdulaziz. Abdulaziz, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hey, everyone. My name is Abdulaziz Abdullah Al-Husni from Sultanate of Oman. I'm a photographer, creative director, and model. Yeah.
What's it called? Like a three... A killer or something like a three... What is it? Like when you have three traits that you're like really good at? A triple threat. A triple threat.
Yeah, yeah.
Triple threat. Yes. And speaking of being a creative director, I wanted to ask about the creative direction that you had, specifically with Nadi Al-Habayib. How did you come up with it? Where did that idea come from? Nadi Al-Habayib, tell us a bit more.
In general, like we live in a world where it's hard for Arab people like me to express emotions and thoughts without any judgment. So back in like 2019, I had this idea of creating a Habayib Club, which is like imaginary place. And then I created the concept of that Nadi Al-Habayib in a place where yani it's like accept all kind of people, shapes, colors, and sizes, and to let everyone express their feelings, thoughts freely without judgment or hate. And it's simply just like a safe place full of love.
I love that. I love the love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it so interesting because, like you said, sometimes... society sets all these like expectations where you feel like you have to abide by, and being able to create something out of love in response to that is so nice. Like a reaction to those boundaries is a safe space and a loving one. I feel like that's so beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like kill them with kindness or something, you know?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, being able to turn things on its head and you know, approach it with love. And that sort of leads me to want to ask you, how does like self-love and its themes manifest in your work? Because having read your essay, I feel like that's something that does manifest. And I just wanted to hear from you and your perspective in terms of your creative process.
So like for many people who know me, it's always been hard for me to express my thoughts through words. And like... even like explaining things in general. So art helped me a lot to say what I couldn't say. And like me expressing myself is how I show love to myself. And this is like, you know, so yeah.
That was so
heartwarming. Like, do you think it's a matter of which language you're talking in? Like if it's English or Arabic, or do you think it's just in general, language is just hard to express love, so you produce it through creating these worlds?
It's not about the language. حتى أحيانا, يعني, even like thoughts, then, يعني, I don't know, like it's hard for me to say it in words. I don't know if you guys feel this sometimes. بس يعني كده. It's like your brain like saying something and then you don't know how to explain it to people.
Yeah, I get you. Anna, I just talk nonstop. So I like...
not me.
Literally.
No, but I feel like I completely understand. Like, I feel like being in the middle ground of someone who's a quiet person, but also someone who's a very extroverted and talkative person, I'm somewhere in the middle. And a lot of times I feel like I have a lot of thoughts and I know I can speak well, like articulate well, but I'm not good at articulating my own thoughts. I'm good at like re-articulating what I've read and heard and studied, like, you know what I mean? But when it comes to being vulnerable and when it comes to being trying to sort of look inwards and try to express that outwardly, that's when it starts getting difficult for me on a personal note. I completely understand where you say, like, where you utilize artwork and create a means of expression that allows you to, you know, be able to sort of get those thoughts out in a non-vocal way.
Just to like build on this and then build and attach it to Nadi al-Habaib and all your other projects, when you create these worlds, so when I see your work, it's all a lot of fantasy. I see so much fantasy. I see imagination in the colors you see, you use, the style you shoot in, the settings you create. So I want to know, when you're creating these worlds, do you think about the characters in this world? Do you think about, like, how do you create the world? What is the laws? What are the traditions in this world? What are the expectations in this world? Or like, you know, tell us about these worlds. Great. How do you think of them?
So it's all imaginary. Like sometimes, yeah, it's part of the reality that we are living in. So mixed with tradition, of course. So because we are Arab people, then there are a lot of interesting stuff happening. And also, like imaginary. I think all people have this thoughts then. They see, and maybe they're in their dreams. I don't know, like thoughts you had when you are a child. So yeah, it's all mixed, like mixed with the tradition also.
Do you get inspiration from your dreams or from your childhood? Which one is stronger, do you think?
I think it's all like, it's all mixed together. Like childhood with tradition, reality, other people that I know. Some stories that I talked about, it's not even like my story. It's just like people that told me their stories. And I thought it's really nice to put this stories in a frame. Yeah, interesting. Like people want to talk about it, but they can't because, you know, it's hard to say it in words. So putting it in an image is the right to have them. Or like an art concept.
I really like that. I like that because it creates so much comfort. It creates so much like, there's a lot of symbols. Like the love potions that you have in the room, for example. The color scheme that you use. The, I think it's watermelon, sah? Even the watermelons are just like freedom. Right? They are watermelons, right?
Yeah, they are watermelons.
Yeah, so even if we look at it from a Palestinian context, that's a symbol of freedom, you know? So it's like so many symbols in this that just represent so much about dreams and imagination. And it's almost sad that it's like we have to look at it through a lens of imagination and dreaming to live that life. But it's also optimistic, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah. I feel like I wanted to ask you also, because there's a lot of like traditional motifs in your work. Yeah, it's all very, very like on the forefront, on an aesthetic manner, quite traditional. It even, I feel like, is nostalgic to the kind of pictures we'd see that came out of like the 70s and 80s, and especially with the color gradients in the background and stuff. But then you have things like the love potion or the Yeezys, and even like having like, you know, sort of like motifs of change as well, in addition, like in, and they stand out so loudly against those motifs of tradition, even like your qubba, the pink one with the hearts on it. I feel like there's a huge mixing of two very different ends of the spectrum. And I just wanted to ask you, do you think it's important to like sort of like if there's a message or if there's a reason behind those two ends being met in the images? And then also like if you feel like it symbolizes anything for you?
Hey, a lot of people like ask me that, why do I make changes in tradition sometimes? So I do like make some slight changes in tradition clothing, like adding some unusual colors, like for example, the hat or like the kimma, we called it kimma. I designed for Habaib Club, which is represent peace and love in a tradition way. And when I say peace and love, I'm talking about the color red and the color white. So red represent the love, and the white the beast, and mixing all those two colors like give us the very nice color pink. So it's a really nice color. I mean, there's no like, it's normal. I think it's really nice color that we have to use it. And yeah,
I love that you mix. You know, usually people, when they look at colors as symbols, they look at colors separately. Like pink, red is this, green is this, purple is this. But I love that you mix them. You mix two different symbols to create another symbol. I never thought of colors that way. You know, I always thought of them in isolation rather than in coherence or convergence.
Some people think it's maybe it's too feminine to use a pink color. But I don't think so. I think it's beautiful color and we have to use it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And then speaking of that, like femininity and etc., if we look at the other series that we show here, Raised by Wolves, that's a very hyper-masculine set of series. That's a very hyper-masculine world. And it's interesting to see you as the character exist in both this quote-unquote feminine world and then quote-unquote hyper-masculine world. So with Raised by Wolves, were you like intentionally trying to create like aggression and strength and power, or what were your intentions with Raised by Wolves?
So it's really like deep stuff that I talked like in the beginning of the year 2020. I've talked about Habaib Club, which is, you know, it's more about love. And then I went to A Color for Masculinity, which is more like love. And at the same time, it gives you like this masculinity vibe. And then Raised by the Wolves, which is, it's more like, you know, like more like, I don't know, like a savage version of the Arabian Hada character. And then, which is really like, really, I don't know. So for creating the concept of Raised by the Wolves, it takes really like quite some time. Starting from going to places, sometimes talking to people. So me going to, for example, the Sharqiya, which is a place here in Oman. When you see those people, you'll really understand what I'm talking about. Like they are so masculine. Yani, the way how they like, I don't know, they dress.
The way they carry
it's really nice.
And what do you talk to them about? What are the stories that you guys exchange, that you take from and then that you learn from?
I mean, it's all about like, yani, watching them to do what they do. It's really inspiring. Like if you had, يعني, إذا تغديت معهم, then you will really understand what I mean about opening the هذا لما فتحت الرأس مال هذا. it's really killer. And no, you have to prove يعني, your masculinity or killer, and like you have to open the head. So it's really killer. Ma'arif. Good vibes.
Yeah, I get you.
And I think I wanted to ask you like a question on the like aesthetic front. Did you pull inspiration from old pictures for this? Because again, it's a very nostalgic like series, like especially the image. I don't know what it's called. Wait, which one? Yeah, like the one where you're holding, yeah, where you're holding the head, you know, Ras Bihauchi. Did you pull inspiration from older pictures? Because it looks so I don't know. Yeah.
Old pictures from other artists or like...
No. Like old pictures from like back in the day. Like, because I feel like the style of the images is something that I would find in like an old photo album and like pictures of my uncles. Like, you know what I mean? From back in the day. Because again, it's even like the colors, the gradients, there's one image which is like, it's not black and white, it's like sepia. So I think it's so interesting.
So I think that like the inspiration comes from a lot of stuff that I told you about. This like the vibe of the like most of the picture that I like do, like most of them are like inspired by the 90s or like the 80s, so or maybe 70s.
Why do you think why does that era inspire you? Like, is it for a nostalgia? Wait, it can't be nostalgic, I think, because you weren't born then. So why does it inspire you?
Yeah. So I was born in 2000. So yeah, makes sense. So, so first, it's really a nice period of time where people like the way artists like use colors, how they create posters. It's so colorful and. I don't know. I don't see a lot of people do this like these days.
Yeah, definitely. Like posters.
The way they use colors.
From back in the 80s, 70s are so much more different and so much more vibrant and poppy and like in your face.
Exactly. And another thing in matter of their generation, maybe they didn't. يعني أعمالهم غير مخلدة كثير.
No, I get you. Linda, we live in a digital age. It's so easy to like...
Exactly. And most of the posters they make, it's handmade. They didn't like print it out or like they kept them. Or like... I know there's a lot of photos you'll find in Pinterest. But يعني... أنا متأكد أنه في ناس في مصورين في فنانين اختفوا أو ما حل... يعني they didn't هذا... ما تركوا أثر أو أعمالهم ما تخلدت لأنه ما كان يقدروا لأنه ما كان في تكنولوجي ما حد كان ما there's even like especially in خليجي artist or like خليجي people they don't have this sort of يعني ما يعرف عن الفن وكذا مدى تقبلهم للفن.
Yeah, I get that. Like there was a lot more room for experimenting. And then another thing that I wanted to ask then is, in these images, speaking of experimenting and all that, you're always acting. Like, you're always putting on a performance. Me and Shamsa, I feel like almost every single episode so far has related to theater. But in these images, you're putting on a performance. Like, especially Raised by Wolves, you're so... You look different entirely from how you look in Nadir Habaib. And then you look so different in the other series too. Like, how do you get into character? How do you start? How do you think like, oh, this is how I'm going to act? How do you find that confidence when shooting yourself? Or like, yeah, tell us about the acting process.
Well, I guess, no, it's really killer. The way like how I look like, people always like, I don't know, judge others because they look like something. Then for me looking like maybe with Habaib Club hat or Habaib Club pink kimma, then maybe like they will think that maybe I'm like, you know, like, I don't know, it has something يعني, to do with the I don't know, I don't want to talk about it. And then when they see me like wearing this serious masculine tradition wearing, they will be like, oh, like maybe he's like, I don't know. So for me, I think doing all those characters makes it so like, I don't know, I don't have words for this. Okay, I'm going to look savage tonight. Then, and you are not allowed to judge me.
I
understand exactly what you're trying to say. Like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I feel like what is so cool about seeing those images is it shows that, like, first of all, humans are multifaceted. You can be both. There's a coexistence of the masculine and the feminine. There's a coexistence of the traditional and the contemporary. And I feel like this all manifests in your images, in the colors, the motifs, the characters that you're playing. And then I think that, again, personally, as an audience member, I see the power in the fact that you're the person that's playing all these roles. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's what you're trying to say, but that's what I feel like as an artist, like as an audience member that's consuming your art. You know what I mean? And then seeing all those things being put together, like all the things that you tried to touch up upon or have touched up upon in your art and in the way that you talk about your art, I think it's very clear to the audience, you know, and I feel like it's very successful in my opinion, if I'm allowed to put in my opinion, but
I agree with you, honestly, because seeing the same person, because usually a lot of the times, and no shade to any photographer out there that is very, a lot of the times photographers, when they shoot themselves in the most aesthetic looking way and in the most similar way every single time, you know, when photographers shoot themselves, I always question what their creative direction is. However, when you shoot yourself, you always think of the setting, the story, the character, every single element that goes into it. And I think that creates so much value in this work because it just, it's like Shamsa said, it's breaking these like boundaries that we have and making things mesh. It's mixing up different stuff. You see one person being soft, then the same person being aggressive. You know, there's no, like, limitations. That's what I
it
like.
It shows you how human it all is. And, like, how sometimes, first of all, how human, it's very human to have all of these emotions. But then also, it's very societal to feel like you have to show up for a specific emotion or projection more than the other. I don't know. I feel like that's very clear.
Yeah, definitely. So I was wondering, what is your favorite part then? What is the thing that you enjoy the most about your creative process?
Process.
Yeah, so like I would say the creation process is my favorite part because like coming up with the concept, and it takes quite some time, and like for me going to the places and doing the research and talking to the people who are living the reality that I'm about to picture is really كذا ما اعرف كذا واجد vibe كذا فنان and you are see like a different people and then يعني maybe I don't usually live like this and then if you look at me right now you will see the beard and then most people know me like without the beard and then this ما اعرف it's really like I really love like different people and this is like reflect to with my friends. I have a lot of like outside the country friends and they are so different.
Yeah, and I like that the way you practice your creativity is the way you also live your life, you know, so it's very much a merge between your two worlds. And speaking of your worlds, how do you think people react to your work? How do you know people react to your work? And then how do you want people to react to your work? So those are three
different okay. things.
How do you think they react? How do they actually react? And how do you want them to react?
Shuf Salem. So there's a lot of people who like my work. And on the other hand, there's some people who don't like my work. And they wouldn't like what I'm about to do next. So I really like understand why they don't like it, and then because I always say like we are more than 7 billion in this earth and then or planet and then so I understand that some people they don't like understand يعني تقبلهم للفن كيف how's their like society say about this and this. How do they like
in the Middle East that just, like becomes even more exaggerated and big? Linda, we are a small community.
Hey, يعني, it's really big world. زين فيعني I don't know, I accept this. Then, بعدين, the idea of getting hate or هذا, then, I don't see it as a struggle. Then, but it's something motivates me, to be honest. And push me to do more. And I'm grateful that I have a lot of, like, a good supporting system. Then, and I also get a lot of positive feedback.
That's always good. I'm wondering, what do you want people to take from your work? Like, what do you want them to feel, and what do you want them to come to a realization of?
I really appreciate إن الناس إذا عجبهم يحطوا لايك و they follow me. If they didn't like it, they just like I don't know, unfollow me.
Yeah,
it's so easy. Yeah.
Forward.
But on the other hand, if you like, you cannot like, say, like you cannot talk crap about it. And then like, يعني كذا like really bad comment. And then it's normal. No, it's not. There is low. Like you cannot. This is like what I did. Don't blame my like family or something.
Yeah.
Hey, يعني في قانون. For people who يعني اللي سبوا كذا
I don't know, Shamsa, is there anything you want to add? Is there anything you want to explore additionally?
I feel like a lot of what I have to say about your work, Aziz, is appreciation. Like, I feel like, first of all, on an aesthetic front, it's very beautiful, well thought out, and that's evident. But then also on a substantial manner, there's so much that your art has to say, and I feel like it's very subtle, but it's very strong. And again, like, there's so much that we, like, just in the past 20 minutes talking about, like, the coexistence of the multifacetedness of being human, and being able to look at your images and see that is something that I highly appreciate. Being able to talk about it after, like, with you, and sort of get your insights and your opinions, it's very interesting, and really, like, thank you for that. And like you said, like, if anyone has anything bad to say, keep it to yourself and just unfollow me. Like, honestly, like,
are there any
final
comments that you have?
With respect and love, leave.
Definitely. Sorry, exactly, yeah. Always in love.
Yeah.
And it's always like, I've always say that, and it's always wrong to hate, but it's never wrong to love. Like,
wow. Yeah.
Don't hate people. Yeah, don't hate people.
That's such a positive note to wrap this all up at. And I just wanted to see if you have any final comments, any final remarks that you want to share before we head off.
No, Allah, like, thank you guys for having me. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about stuff that, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to express that feeling.
Thank you so much for going through all of this with us and working with us.
You're welcome.
Work with us and talking with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Talk about warmth. I feel like Aziz is the type of person that just, again, like Saddam said earlier on, hit the nail on the head. Is such a pick-me-up person. I love talking to him. And I hope you guys also enjoyed the conversation and all the insights he had to offer.
And if you enjoyed it so thoroughly, make sure to follow him on Instagram, support his work, at Aziz LLL. That is AZIZZLLL. Make sure to also head over to our website to check out some of his prints. So out of that store. And lastly, make sure to also follow us on Instagram at sawadif.collective to make sure that you stay up to date with everything, to make sure that you see when the next episode comes out, when the next article comes out, who our other artists are. And yeah, just stay up to date with Sawadif. Thank you so much for listening and tuning into this episode of Shosalfa. We'll see you in the next episode, everyone.
Goodbye.